Now we're doing the Maharal Meber Agula. The Maharal was coming to illustrate how there are rabbinic institutions that have their concepts based in the verses of the Torah. And the last proof, the last illustration of this that the Maharal had quoted was the Talmud in Beitza, where the Talmud discusses the rabbinic institution of Eruv Tavshilin, that when you're going to bake or cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you begin the baking and the cooking process before Yom Tov. And Rabbi Eliezer said, we can see this rabbinic institution based in the verse that says, Et asher tofu yifu v'et asher tvashlu bashelu. You want to cook? Cook. You want to bake? Bake. And here he says, you see, that verse indicates that you have to do an Erev Tavshilin. So again, the question is, how did he see it in that verse? So he said, the Maharal had said, why didn't it just say, Eifu ayom bashlu ayom, you want to cook or bake, do it today on Friday. Why does it have to say, whatever you want to cook, cook. Whatever you want to bake, bake. Why does it say it in this way? So the idea is, the Torah was saying, whatever you want to bake, bake today, because tomorrow you won't be able to bake. Even if you already started baking today, you won't be able to finish your baking tomorrow. So our sages understood, what is the Torah telling us? That there's a room to discern between starting the baking process and concluding the baking process. And the Torah tells you, when it comes to Shabbos, I want you to cook and bake completely before Shabbos and Yom Tov, and not to finish your cooking and baking on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Torah is stressing on Shabbos, but on another day, meaning on Yom Tov, there, if you start by day, you could finish off on Yom Tov in honor of Shabbos. Meaning the Torah was saying, you want food on Shabbos, finish your cooking and baking before Shabbos. So again, the Maharal says, "V'zeu b'Shabbat, aval yom shvita acher kmo yom tov, kasher matchinin mi b'od yom v'yigmeru b'yom tov letzorch Shabbat, en ze nechshav afiyahu bishul b'yom tov." The Torah stresses, when it comes to Shabbos, I don't want you spoking the fire and finishing your baking on Shabbos. Anything you want for Shabbos should be made before Shabbos. What about cooking and baking from Yom Tov to Shabbos? There the Torah seemingly indicates that's okay if you finish your cooking and baking on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. Av shu gam kin yom shvita, even though Yom Tov is also a day of rest. Men ze derech rechoka. And this isn't a far-out understanding in the verse. Umikol makom sheyeza min haTorah ze eino rak shu asmachta laTorah. That, nonetheless, this isn't a derivation from the Torah. This is an asmachta in the Torah. The verse doesn't clearly say you may not cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos unless you baked earlier. Being that it's not clear from the verse that that's the ordinance of the Torah, so it's not a biblical mitzvah. And this is the concept the Maharal had been developing. We have certain things that the Torah indicates the concept but doesn't obligate them. And that, says the Maharal, is an asmachta. It's not a biblical commandment, it's what we call an asmachta. It is a rabbinic institution because the Torah didn't obligate it. But the fact that the Torah indicated the concept makes it an asmachta. And if you look closely at this concept that the Maharal developed about how asmachta works, then you won't take the words of our sages lightly. And you'll see that whenever you encounter the concept of asmachta, you'll see that the concept is rooted in the Torah, even though it's not obligated by the Torah. And what we've said until now is clear. The only one who doesn't find it so is someone who's stubborn and is unwilling, unrelenting to admit to the truth. And we will continue explaining as we go onward. So the Maharal here tackled point number one, the idea of asmachta and rabbinic institutions. So what did we see? This brings us to the conclusion of section one. What are rabbinic institutions? What is asmachta? One who transgresses the rabbinic institutions and the merits of keeping them. What does it mean that the words of the sages are like spokes in the wall, and the understanding of the difference between our generation and previous generations? So We started the first part, which is the strength of the institutions of the sages. Why isn't it Baal Tosif? Why didn't the rabbis transgress Baal Tosif when they made their institutions? The Torah says don't add. Didn't they add? So that's what we began discussing, and the whole concept of Asmachta. Now we move on to the next section of the Maharal, a deeper understanding of the keeping of mitzvos in general. Hashlishihem, the third point that people have an issue with, HaMitzvot SheGazru Chachamim Gedo V'Siag LaTorah. There are mitzvos that the rabbis instituted, and they're there to protect us from transgressing the Torah. For example, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat animals' meat with milk. Along came the rabbis and said, don't eat chicken with milk. So that's an institution that's to protect you from transgressing the biblical one. When you'll analyze these mitzvos, you'll also see that they're connected to the Torah. Because if you look at the mitzvos of the Torah, we have 248 proactive commandments in accordance to the limbs. As our sages say in the Talmud Makos, right? You guys know the Talmud says there are 613 mitzvos. 248 positive commandments corresponding to the limbs. 365 prohibitions corresponding to the days of the year. So being that the mitzvos correspond to the limbs in their number, they must also correspond to the limbs in other ways. If you look closely, you'll see that nature guided. In nature, the way the limbs are fashioned is in a way that protects them. The more delicate a limb, the more protection it has in nature. We have an eye. The eye is so sensitive, so the eye has an eyelash. It's very interesting. I didn't realize this until I started having kids falling and beating one another up, that the makeup of our skull is that... The eye is set deeply into the skull. Meaning, one of the kids was once standing on a stool, washing their hands, and the stool slipped from under them. Now, my wife was in the hospital at the time with a pregnancy watch, whatever that's called. What's that called? Shmirat Hereyon, I don't know what you call it in English. A high-risk pregnancy. So she's in the hospital. I have a bunch of other kids... to deal with, and this one comes and this is a story from 4 years ago, so 3 years ago. No, her own. So she's there. I'm at home trying to feed the kid supper, and I come to help him wash his hands, and he slips off the stool and falls. Bam! His head hits the side of the his eye hits the side of the bathtub. So I was wondering how his eye is. And he looks at me, and his eye is fine. He has a big gash across his eyebrow. And I ask myself, how does that happen? You know, that a kid, his eye went to the corner of the bath. You know, he slipped off the stool, and he was going to hit the corner. And instead, his eyebrow. And then I started realizing that the way Hashem built it, it's very hard to get into the eye. Anytime you're going to get hit by something, the skull is going to get hit first. This bone over here juts out in a way that I never appreciated. And the reason I noticed it is because I noticed that wasn't the first time, you know. Sometimes things happen again and again and again. So my kids, when my wife was in the hospital, I was in the Kupat Cholim three times, stitching up a kid's eyebrows. One did it in school, and one did it in Gan, and one did it by the bathtub. Then it dawned on me that it's not a coincidence. Hashem built our skull in a way that the eye, it's very hard to hurt the eye. You got to really aim and work hard to get at the eye, and then you have the eyelash that closes without you even thinking about it. It closes instinctively. So the Maharal says, Hashem created our limbs in a way that ensures their continued existence. Yes, Mike?
Yeah. Were your kids missing about?
Were they missing? I don't know. Kids will be kids. Their job is to...
I noticed that in this country that certainly amongst the communities of the United States, kids to always an accident waiting to happen.
And it, I agree.
It must be that the way the boy is up. Is it that the like band keeps like smacking kids in there about 6 years ago?
I didn't hear. Is it what?
Is it the way? Is it not that you don't have a bit of discipline that maybe there's no physical
I'll tell you, I think there are a lot of components. It's a little hard to point to one thing. But maybe in a few minutes we'll finish this section in the Maharal and we'll go over to discussing that. So the Maharal says, if we recognize that the mitzvos correspond to the limbs, and the limbs are created in a way that ensures their continued existence. As you see, the eyes have a natural protector so that they don't get harmed. We have many limbs that have natural protection so they don't get ruined. So then the mitzvos also require their form of protection. Because the greater harm can come to something, the more nature requires or wisdom requires that we protect it. Just like you see the protection for the eye, or we could say, look at the protection from the heart. You have a whole rib cage protecting the heart, plus all the fat and the skin. And the more precious something is, the more protection you give it. Ever chashuv meod, tzarich elav shmira. V'chen asta teva tziponaim leetzbot, ayad v'araglaim. You also find in nature that we have nails on the fingers of our hand and feet. Shlo yunikufim bitnuat ha'adam. Otherwise, we'd constantly be cutting our hands and feet from our movements. And I never appreciated this. V'sarot arosh shmira l'arosh. The hair on the head is protection for the head. You guys don't appreciate it. I appreciate it because I didn't notice this until I started losing the hair on my head, that you don't know how many times you bump into things with your head. And because you have hair, you don't bruise your scalp. You'll see that bald people very often have bruises on their scalp. And it's a huge protection. That's why it's a good idea to buy big yarmulke if you're going bald. People think it's to cover the bald spot. It's because I got my head bruised so many times, I decided I gotta protect my head a little bit. So the Maharal says, "V'chem kol ever ve'ever lefi chashivuto yesh lo shmira v'chutz." Every limb is in correlation with its level of importance; that it has its protection. So that's why he says, "We will see." Logic dictates that when it comes to mitzvos, we also form these barriers. He's coming from the logical perspective. There's also a biblical perspective, but we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time.